Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Guys, what did you make of Bears general manager Ryan Poles answering this way when asked about his expectations for Caleb Williams?
I want him to lean on the talent around him. And then when the time is right, and that's an instinctual thing, and I think that plays right into him, that's when you do the special. And balancing that. And then sometimes it's going to get out of whack one way or the other, but always come back to that. It's kind of like that neutral place where he's at his best. And I think he has that just from studying him and watching years of tape on him. He has that ability.
Yeah, I agree with that statement. I agree with what he said there. That is a really good way of setting expectations for the quarterback. It's what you want, which is for him to stay within the system, for him to help them move the chains, and then when the moment comes, recognize, well, here's where I go down the field, or here's where I make a big play, or here's where I feed the ball here instead of there, or I buy a second and do something special. I like that way of evaluating it, because it's difficult when you talk about a quarterback staying within the system. When you talk about them moving the chains, you do sound like you're trying to coach the aggression out of them, which is not the idea. The idea, though, is to lean on the tools you went out and got for him. Make sure that you've got this great receiving core. Use them. You've got tight ends that are good. Use them. You got a running game that you can use. And you want him to play within the confines of what they're attempting to do, but you can't take away what his gift is, which is the ability to make a special play and to do stuff. And you do. It's true. The great ones do know when it's time to take over and try something and do something special. So I liked the way he broke that down, because it was an articulate way of saying what we've been kind of talking about here since they drafted the kid.
I totally agree. Ryan Poles said it the best. I mean, it's been talked about that this Caleb Williams probably got one of the best kind of weapons around him than any rookie ever had. I mean, you got pretty much Pro Bowl caliber wide receivers in Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. And then you got, you know, Roma Dunze, who people are saying could be the best Bear wide receiver in history by the end of his Bears career.
Thank you, Kay Adams.
Right. With that being said, I mean, he has everything that you want. Swift, I mean, just play within, I feel like, the system, and I feel like I felt very comfortable with how the Bears and the offense of the game plan that they're setting up for Caleb Williams than any other rookie that I've seen the Bears have. So this is the way I'll go about it. I just make sure, like Mully said, you just want to make sure he holds that plate just a little bit longer to create those special plays, and he could do it with his talent.
Yeah, and I think when he talks about leaning on the talent around him, it's not just the receivers and DeAndre Swift and the guys on the offense. It's the fact that he's got a top 10 defense, maybe better than that, to lean on. He doesn't have to feel the pressure. I know he doesn't get nervous, and he says he doesn't get nervous. But he might feel some pressure week one because of all of Chicago awaiting his arrival to superstardom. And everybody anticipating and talking about this, he's got to have some anxiety that he's going to have to manage. And I think what Ryan Poles is saying is that you don't have to do it all at once. Not until you get to the point where everybody, everybody is on the same page, in sync, and then go do the special. Then he can do the special. I love that phrase, do the special, Caleb. And we know that he's capable of doing that because we've seen it in glimpses during the preseason. So he has the ability. Everything is set up for success. And I like the way that Ryan Poles talked in somewhat measured tones, because it is a broad question. It's a simple question, but it's a great one. What do you expect out of Caleb Williams this year? And he didn't sound over the top in terms of those expectations. He's very realistic, and the Bears are grounded. And that's the good news.
Pick six.
How do you process the Cubs rallying from a 7-run deficit to sweep Pittsburgh with a 14-10 victory that included a 6-run ninth inning? Was it the Christian Bethencourt game thanks to 7 RBI, or will you remember it as part of PCA's late season heater as he went 4-for-4?
It will be part of PCA's late season heater, but it is definitely the Bethencourt game because of 7 runs batted in, and people still can't quite know who he is or where he came from. He's just a guy that joined the team, and since he joined the team, he has been on fire. I don't know how you explain something like this. I don't know that people will remember who this was in a year from now. Oh, remember that backup catcher they signed, and he had 7 runs batted in against the Pirates in that game that Paul Skene started, but they scored 11 unanswered runs? Oh, yeah, him? Oh, Bethencourt. PCA is on fire. Bethencourt on fire. He spelled Miguel Amaya, and he's going back to the bench tomorrow, I would imagine, because Miguel Amaya is on fire. I don't know what got into the Cubs. As we said, over the last 7 games, they scored 73 runs. That's the most they've scored in a 7-game span since 1961. So this offense has gone from being anemic to being aggressive and dangerous. The Cubs have gone from being 9 games below 500 on July 3rd. Now they're 2 games over. I don't know if it will be enough, but it will be enough to hold our interest through September, because they now have put themselves in a position, even though they're 5 games back of the Braves, they are in a position to make things interesting. And I guess that's a good thing. You'd like to see them be more consistent with the starting pitching. I don't know what they're going to do with Kyle Hendricks. God, was he bad. But he didn't get any help in the infield either. But yeah, yesterday was memorable.
Dave, you said it was the best game so far of the Cubs, probably their best game. This is their best series. We've been saying that they needed a sweep, and this is a team that you need to sweep within the division. That helps you overall. Yes, it's the Bethencourt game, but I agree with you, David. This is more about Pete Crow Armstrong. I mean, we make fun of Dustin about it. I play the drop all the time that he say he's going to be the best Chicago athlete in 2028. But he's been on fire before this, and he's now getting the bats, and he's just getting hotter and hotter right now. And this could be the surge of what Dustin's probably even saying about Pete Crow Armstrong. So you love this production from him overall. Yes, Bethencourt had a great game. This is probably his best game of his MLB career right now. But like you said, later on it's going to be about Miguel Amaya, who's also been playing great himself. Those are the two. You call them what, double A, AA, or whatever you call them, David. This is all about, to me, more about Pete Crow Armstrong and the start of the future, because the future is now for them.
Double A batteries.
Bethencourt is 32 and he comes from Panama. So PCA is 22. We're arguing about who had the better game. We know PCA had the better series, but what a game to get 7 RBI. So congratulations to Christian Bethencourt. That's a real accomplishment to have seven RBI in a game, and especially the way that the Cubs came back to win it. You know, you don't win it without them. And as you mentioned, you know, in the ninth inning, they walk PCA because he's on base all day, and they get to Bethancourt, and what does he do? He knocks in a couple more runs. I mean, it's just
it's respect.
They did very well together. And the Cubs scored, I saw this from Christopher Kampka, great Twitter follow. They scored 10-plus runs four times in the first 127 games of the season, and they've done it four times in the last seven games. So that tells you what kind of heater they're on. That is pretty outstanding stuff. They also lead MLB with 69 RBI from the ninth spot in the order this season, and that is
crazy.
Miles away. 33 since August 1st.
Isn't that crazy?
That's insane.
Yeah.
And a lot of that raises the question of when are you going to move a guy up in the order? They were really good yesterday. That was really fun to watch, and I think that, you know, as the game went on, I think that when it got to 10-5, I thought to myself, they can win this game. You know, they might win this game. Just because Skeens was out and the Cubs were starting to score, and you felt like, well, who's going to stop them now?
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good question.
In Pittsburgh, the biggest story Wednesday wasn't the Pirates blowing a game to the Cubs, but Russell Wilson being named the starter over Justin Fields. How surprised are you? And just to reset our expectations, which quarterback do you think will start more games this year?
Well, it's not close for me. I definitely want to see Justin Fields starting more games because I want the Bears to get not a sixth-round draft pick, but a fourth-round draft pick. So if he can start more games, if he can get more than half the playing time, that will happen. So, obviously, I think we're all kind of hoping for that. You know, I kind of, you know, when you say that the guy has the inside track and then he does nothing, and the guy that you're competing with also really kind of does nothing, they had relatively the same statistics. It makes sense that you would go with what your initial thought was. But because it was such mediocrity, it's hard to believe that he's going to turn the corner. It's hard to believe that they're not going to get to a point where they're like, well, we got to try something else. Let's see if we can win with, you know, a better, improved running game because the quarterback can run better. that might be the way that it ends up happening. But I think that I think Russ starts for four games anyway, right? I think the first quarter of the season will definitely be his, and then you will base it on how he plays and how they play with him under center. But when a guy, when you go with a guy as your starter, it's usually not for one game.
I'm with you, Mully. I mean, I want it to be Fields, and I think it will be Fields. I think they're going to be a good maybe third, probably about six games for Russ to see what he can do. And then at that time, I think after that, Fields to me fits better in this Steelers offense. With Arthur Smith, I mean, the dual threat that he has with his legs is kind of, to me, gives him the edge over Russell Wilson. I just feel right now Russell's starting right now because I just think you can't have Fields start and then it's tough to then later, oh, let's just go to Russell Wilson, him coming in after he was the number two. It's better the other way around. So if, like, Russ can't prove itself, fine, that's okay. We got the younger guy in Fields. Let's see what he could do underneath this. That offensive line is horrible to me for the Steelers, and that's why I feel like Fields will start more, and I feel like we might get that draft pick for the Bears.
The most intriguing thing about this story is Mike Tomlin telling, I think, Rich Eisen that Justin Fields will be part of the offense, even as a backup, even as Russell Wilson's, you know, understudy. And the thought of Justin Fields playing a slash role, coming in maybe for a package of plays, short yardage, or in the red zone, or maybe even on the field at the same time as Russell Wilson, is something that I think we talked about, considered, but maybe dismissed because it does sound gimmicky. But what Justin Fields did in the preseason, more than anything, was that he reminded people how great of an athlete and runner he is. Maybe still not there as a starting quarterback, and that's why I think there's more certainty, even at this stage of his career, there's more certainty in having Russell Wilson as your starter. He didn't have a great preseason. Neither did Justin Fields, given every opportunity. So I still think that Justin Fields will be the backup primarily. He'll play a role, albeit a smaller one than he would like. In this offense, Russell Wilson will start more games than Justin Fields.
That's a great question, and I'm glad you brought that up.
Why did Ryan Poles stop just short of saying that the Bears had to make the playoffs this year? Or did he go far enough to make clear those are his expectations after the roster he's put together?
Thought he walked the line pretty well. He knows from being in Chicago long enough and probably being around the Chiefs even, you don't necessarily declare playoffs are bust or you say we're going to make the playoffs. You can do that in certain franchises who have a history of winning. You could do that in San Francisco. You could do that in Baltimore. You could do that in places that have a history of going deep. You could do that in Kansas City now if you wanted to. Obviously, it goes without saying in Kansas City you're going to make the playoffs. But when you are the general manager in year three and you've doubled down on your head coach of your choice and you have done everything else right, but maybe that still raises some questions in the eyes and minds of some people, you want to do what Ryan Poles did yesterday. You want to express confidence and optimism in everything about your plan and seeing it come together. You also want to say that the playoffs are what the standard is. You want to win championships. You want to win divisions. Heck, he was here to take the North. That was his stated goal. That's why the podcast exists. Take the North. So you want to start that process, and you take the North, you get to the playoffs. I thought he really handled himself well. He's also, we talk about Matt Eberflus all the time in polishing his image and the way he presents himself. Ryan Poles has also done a tremendous job of improving in that aspect. So I liked everything I heard from Ryan Poles yesterday.
I mean, I feel like I know why. I mean, expectations. He talked about expectations for Caleb Williams, his expectations on himself too, because then you make your seat hotter. If you say you're going to make the playoffs and you don't, then that makes your seat hotter. That makes the coach's seat even hotter. Like, oh, do you need to make a change here? I mean, the main thing he was talking about, the focus of the season was to make a big jump. To me, what's the big jumps? Because you're 7-10. So what is considered a big jump? Is it 8-9? Is it 9-8? And just missing the playoffs? Like, is it two games better? I want to know what that big jump really is. That's to me the main point of this all. Like, okay, what's the big jump? Are we, so it's not the playoff. You want to stop short there. So is it just to be two games better, a game better, better than last season? So that's kind of the focus that I'm leaning on this.
Yeah, you know, getting to the playoffs, winning playoff games would be outstanding, is the way you put it. It would be outstanding, wouldn't it? It'd be really great. I think the problem is that you could have a really good year, and then you could get foiled in the division. And I think that they've got some good teams in the division, and they're trying not to get out over their skis with expectations. So I think they probably feel like they potentially are a playoff team, and certainly their talent level has improved significantly. That's a much better team than they were a year ago, certainly a couple of years ago. And they've gotten rid of a lot of the salary cap issues that were hanging over the organization. They kind of did that the minute the guy came in. You know, they wasn't Khalil Mack still here, and didn't have to straighten that out and work on that contract, etc. So they've done all the heavy lifting and the hard work, and now they've got young, talented players, you know, made a great trade, which is paying dividends, and you imagine will pay more dividends as the years go on. But it might be too soon. I think he likes what's going on. I think they feel good about the organization, and I think that if you lay down, it's time to, you know, win or else. I just don't know that that's realistic, depending on how sometimes things go in seasons. You know, a lot of different things can go awry over the course of a season. So I feel like they need to win. I feel like this needs to be I feel like the coach needs to get over 500. Let's see that. That's not demanding too much. You know, 9 wins is in a 17-game slate. Seems like a reasonable goal for the Bears, especially given the fact that their schedule is rated the 4th best in the NFL to start the season. So, yeah, I like the idea. I like the way he handled it, but you also have to be aware that a lot of things are out there. There's going to be a lot of obstacles to overcome, and that's just the course of a regular season.
Well, okay, next question.
Were you at all amused by the sparse crowd in game 1 of the White Sox doubleheader? How about Grady Sizemore saying he wasn't in baseball during the COVID-19 season, but it reminded him of that?
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of it, too. I saw the photos before I turned the game on. And then, you know, even if later in the day you saw the highlights, God, that's embarrassing. And I get it. You know, they canceled the game. There was a rain out. I came back the next day, and it was a straight doubleheader. And it seemed like in the second game, it was almost like a normal sparse crowd. But the first game, it was shocking how few people were there. And, you know, who knows? People have lives. You go to the game. Maybe you got to go to work. Maybe you can't just live at the ballpark. School is back on. There's all sorts of different reasons. But a 4 o'clock straight doubleheader and you can't get, I mean, you know, people were... You could count the number of people in the building. That's just depressing. But they've earned it.
It was embarrassing more than being amused. It's like you had, it's 4 o'clock. So in my head, I'm like, okay, do you really want to miss work or cut out work early to go see the White Sox? We talked about it too. Like we was looking at the tickets and they was like, oh, it's $4 for like a stadium suite. Like, and nobody, yeah. And we didn't even want to go to that. So I'm not as shocked. I didn't expect it to be that low overall with that crowd. And, I mean, it makes sense. It's the White Sox right now. I mean, 103 losses overall is just it should be more embarrassing than anything. And Jerry should look at this and be like, okay, something has to be done. And I don't think nothing will, though, so it doesn't really even matter.
It didn't remind me of the COVID year because the COVID year, the White Sox were actually good. So they're not good right now. The crowd size was really embarrassing. And you did wonder how much players in the dugout, managers in the dugout, had to watch what they said because of Everyone could hear them, including the other team, and that's absurd to consider at a major league game that had a little league feel. But this was friends and relatives. You know, less than 200 people at one point in time. You could count them. That's what you did to pass the time. You could count the fans in the stands. So it is somewhat embarrassing. Tickets now, you can go online, find them for $4. They should give out $5 bills and tell people that's what they're going to do today and see how many people show up. They should do something like that. You need to get as creative as possible to try to avoid the embarrassing crowd shots, because these crowd shots are embarrassing. And CPS is back in school. Day games are disasters. Bad. I know they have to plan so the Rangers can get out of town and all of these things, but when you have a day game for a team that's already lost 103 games and it's August 29th, you are telling people to stay away. And today, there are going to be thousands of people who are going to stay away.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
All right, guys, Illinois starts the season tonight against Eastern Illinois with Coach Brett Bielema, 18-19 after 4 years in Champaign with only one winning season. Is this a make-or-break year for Bielema, or does expansion to an 18-team Big Ten give him a little more leeway?
Really like Brett Bielema. Got to know him a little bit as he has been here in the studio the last couple summers, and have a different perspective on him. I think he's a lot more relatable than I thought, just covering him in a different way. He makes a good impression. You can see why he's an effective recruiter. All that said, it feels like it's win or go home. I don't know that Josh Whitman will look at it in those terms. I don't know how tough they will view this season in terms of win or else for Brett Bielema. But he came to Illinois with some high expectations. He had one winning season, 18-19 after 4 years. The other thing that can't be ignored in any conversation about what he brings to the table is that he's going to make $6 million this year. His contract kicked in last year. He's going to be a $6 million a year coach. You've got to be a coach and have a team that wins more than they lose if you're making that kind of money, right? With those kind of facilities, right? Maybe not. But if this isn't a season that he faces this kind of ultimatum, I don't know that he ever will be. And I don't know how much Illinois, what else do they value except for winning? He can't have a clunker. You can't be 4-8.
I think next year might be the year. I think because it's a little bit, I think they will get a little bit more leeway because of more teams in there. But you can't do worse than what you did last year. You can't be 3-6 in the conference. You can't do that at all. So I feel like if you could show that you can compete a little bit, maybe be a game or two better, show some improvement overall, then I think next year will be the make it or break year overall.
Yeah, I don't think he's in trouble. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that, he's still kind of putting his team together. He still kind of seems to have a really good relationship with the AD. Still, you know, seems like they're on the upswing. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I feel like they're going to get a little bit better, and I feel like that the big news in the Big Ten is just how whacked out it is with all the expansion, 18 teams and all that, you know, the big 10, everything you hear. I think if they have an awful year, if they really get, you know, if they lose their first game and they fall apart, then yeah. But I don't think that's going to happen. And I think that they've done a pretty professional job putting their team together. I was surprised by this question just because I haven't really contemplated it. I haven't really sat back and thought, well, this has got to be the year. And I can't honestly say that friends of mine have, you know, I know a lot of people that went to the U of I, grew up with a lot of people. My son's down there now. I just haven't heard that. I haven't gotten that vibe out of the program yet. Maybe I'm not paying close enough attention, but honest to God, this one kind of surprised me a little bit. Just it's not on my radar. I'll have to look closer.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.